All right, so on the world stage, Iran held the funeral for the former supreme leader killed in those initial strikes on the onset of this war with Iran. And much has transpired since then, obviously. But what is the status of the Strait of Hormuz? Because we actually have seen gas prices come down here in the state of Michigan. The average cost of a gallon of gas is under $4 a gallon now, which is certainly welcome news. It's certainly good news for Republicans as they are trying to distance themselves from some of these high prices. But that doesn't mean things are operating as exactly as they'd like. Let's talk about it. Eben Brown, our Fox News reporter and WJR contributor, joins us to talk about it this morning. Eben, it's good to have you back. It sounds like there is some traffic being allowed to go through the strait at this point. Where do we stand today?
Well, I think we're still sort of where we were before the weekend. There are ships that are transiting out of the Strait of Hormuz, and that's a good thing. The price of oil, at least what we watch here in the United States, West Texas Intermediate, that is still below $70 a barrel. That's good. It's right now, as I look at it here, it's $68.67. It flows up a couple cents, down a couple cents as the day goes on. These are speculative prices, of course. They will eventually translate the prices at the pump. It just takes some time. We are still in this very weird 60-day period where both sides are talking indirectly, and they are talking about how to talk once they actually start talking. That's so kind of really what this is.
We're talking about talk is what we're doing here. Yeah.
We're talking about how to talk.
Yeah.
As this show funeral for the now dead Ali Khamenei goes on these next few days, there's no talking, but the talks will resume, I believe, in Pakistan. And that means having both the U.S. and Iran in two separate venues and having the Pakistanis kind of shuttling between the two, trying to work out agreements about how to proceed to talk once they actually start talking at the end of this 60-day period, which, knowing President Trump, might get pushed if they haven't reached an agreement, but he thinks that there's progress. That's kind of usually how he works. So, again, everything is still kind of up in the air. In the meantime, there is a steady but not 100% movement of ships out of the Strait of Hormuz, but it is lowering the price of fuel at the retail level, eventually. And I think that that's a well-calculated move by the administration. They know very well that high gas prices are always blamed on the president and the president's party, no matter what the actual cause may really be. When voters have to pay more for gas, they get very angry.
Yeah, certainly. Meanwhile, yesterday on Fox News, on Sunday Morning Features, retired General Jack Keane, a friend of the show, also said that the United States has, quote, got to stop Iran from maintaining control of the Strait of Hormuz. How difficult is that positioning for the United States at this point during this ceasefire period?
Well, it's difficult overall because if the Iranian forces, and again, things are kind of fractured in Iran, so the IRGC may not be following any directives from the political echelon to stop, but they are the ones that are firing on ships at random or ships that tried to sail closer to the Omani side of the strait. So if you want to stop them, you have to police them. And that takes, how do you defeat someone with a gun? You need a bigger gun. And we have the bigger guns, of course, but does this administration want to have a long-term security commitment in the Persian Gulf? That, again, comes with political problems and of course, requires congressional funding for the long term and all of that stuff. The end result is do you dispel this regime entirely or do you convince them through the carrot and stick approach to behave better? I think 47 years of their defiance proves that they probably can't be contained very well. But President Trump insists that they're talking with newer, better, more flexible people. I don't know if that's really true, but that's what the president is saying.
Well, and that's the trouble here. And the president has put his mediators in place, Jared Kushner, Steve Witkoff, certainly J.D. Vance has been involved in this as well. You said at this point they're talking about how to talk. But is that proving fruitful at this point? Because when the memorandum of understanding came out, the second memorandum of understanding came out, there was it drew some some confused reactions. People weren't quite sure what to make of it. It wasn't exactly what we thought it was going to say. But is this truly a framework for something that the United States is going to be able to stomach at some point?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. The United States needs to figure out what it wants to see and what it's willing to do to enforce that. The president, I think, is in a little bit of a political hot spot because he made a promise of no more forever wars that were fruitless and had no real goal. And I think a lot of his support, well, a certain sect of his supporters that have been galvanized by certain far-right podcasters, we'll just say, have somehow co-opted that message into saying no more wars, period. Well, you can't be the world superpower and not expect any wars. You're going to be needed to you know, crack skulls every once in a while when people upset the order. Otherwise, it's bad for everyone. And so the United States needs to have a definitive goal as to what it wants to do, but it has to have the stomach to see it out.
Interesting stuff, as always, Evan Brown. We appreciate you keeping an eye on it for us. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
You bet.
Yeah. But again, this is the precarious spot that the United States is in. Precarious might be the wrong word. It does seem very obvious to me that they absolutely want some sort of peace deal in place. And to Evan's point, the president had made a very strong stance on wars that are prolonged. These wars that are seemingly aimless and rudderless, and there's no real off-ramp. And then you find yourself 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years down the road, and you're still involved in some conflict, when in reality, the question that people are asking is, did this even have to happen in the first place? How close, truly, was Iran to developing a nuclear weapon? And so those questions are going to persist. But if you are able to find a diplomatic off-ramp, well, that's completely different. All of a sudden, that narrative changes completely. But with the IRGC doing what they do, this is something that we talked about months ago, this mosaic approach that Iran has, where, yes, there is a supreme leader, yes, there is a president, but Iran is set up in a way in which all of their factions can operate independently. So, well, the IRGC is essentially operating independently, that they're not necessarily taking orders from the Ayatollah. They're not necessarily taking orders from the president. Under normal circumstances, where things are status quo in Iran, that might be the case. But in a situation where there is topsy-turvy, or there is some sort of unbalanced nature of something happening in Iran, like we've seen with the United States and Israel going in militarily, well, all of a sudden they're able to act autonomously now. And we've seen that. And again, I think based on some of the commentary out of Iran from the leadership, is they also want some sort of resolution here. Now, whether that resolution coincides with the United States seems unlikely, but that's something that will remain to be seen. That there are still problems for the United States, particularly with the Strait, as the Memorandum of Understanding was adopted and this 60-day ceasefire period takes effect. Meanwhile, we have a member of the Gulf Elite here in the state of Michigan today. We'll talk to him. He's on the west side. It's next on JR Morning.